episode 42. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Special week this week. Got my brother in Christ, Trey, with us. It's an honor and a privilege to spend this time with you, bro. And I just pray that the Spirit would lead this time. We got Chris here, too, as usual, hanging out. But before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray, get our minds and get the Spirit flowing. Dear God, Lord, we just thank you for this time, God, and we thank you for the honor and the true privilege it is to spend time with you, Lord, and to be gathered in your name, God. I pray that the Spirit would enter into both my brothers and myself, God, and Lord, you would just lead this time, God. Lord, allow the words to be spoken that will help others and bring hope to others, God, as they continue to walk this road you have called us to walk, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we are gathered with our brothers, Lord, it would encourage, Lord, your children to get in community and get around each other so that we can share each other's stories and testimonies that will bring us closer to you, God. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, you would lead this time, God, that your Spirit would just be impressed upon our hearts, God, and that it would be a blessing to you as it is to us, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, like I said, we got Trey in the building, so yes, I'm going to go ahead and just let him just introduce yourself, bro, whatever you want to say.
Cool, man. So, my name is Trey Johnson. Met Wally and Chris through Grace Family Church. I'm a Tampa native, born in Charleston, South Carolina, moved to Tampa second grade, went to Steinbrenner High School, played football, played all sports there, football, basketball, track, ended up going to Villanova University, played college football there. After Villanova, I went to the league, played with the Pittsburgh Steelers my rookie year. Second year, I played with the Denver Broncos. Then the third year, I actually went up to Canada, played with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Won a Grey Cup up there, which is a Super Bowl in Canada. Got a nice little ring. Ended up playing in the XFL for half of a year because the league folded because of money. And I was right, 2020, right before COVID hit, man. I moved back home, back to Tampa. Then COVID hit, was in quarantine, you know, like the whole world. Started working. I was doing financial advising for 3 years. Ended up stopped doing that. Got into working at a school last year. Taught at Middleton High School. That was an experience in itself. And then now I'm in full-fledged entrepreneurship, man, doing training kids for sports alongside doing government contracting and also still using my insurance license, my 215 and my Series 7. So I'm just a sinful man trying to be a righteous sinful man, bro.
Amen, as we all are. That's lit. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah? I ain't even know that, bro.
Columbia.
Yeah, we're learning more and more about each other.
I'm actually Colombian, so.
You want to know what's funny, though, that I was thinking about when I was coming over here? I was thinking, I don't know if you remember the first time you saw me, but I remember the first time I saw you. It was at Clash Camp, and it was during War Games. And you were out there
I was going in, bro.
Oh. He was dominating these kids, bro. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, who is this big white dude with these dreads and all these tattoos? I'm like, there's no way this dude is in high school. Because it was like, he was out there getting right.
It was middle
bro.
School camp, too. That's even worse.
Bro, like, he was, like, abusively dominating them. And then, like, I got to.
No mercy.
Bro, at all. But what made me like it is because I'm like, I would have did the same thing. Like, I was reffing, so I couldn't. You get what I'm saying? But, like, if I was their volunteer, bro, I would have been out there getting right.
Oh, the refs hated it, too, bro. They were trying not to let me play, and I was like, bro, we got to build some character out here. That's what we're at camp for, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? So that had me rolling all the way over here, man. So we're one and the same in that way always, Wally.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I asked Trey to come to the podcast today because, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago,
it was a really cool experience that happened at the barbershop. So Trey hit me up and said,
"Oh, you talking about the haircut? That was last week.
Was that last week?
Yeah. Well, not this past Friday, but the Friday before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he hit me up and was like, "Yo, I'm chopping my hair off." And if you know Trey, you know he got that nice hair, bro.
Yeah, bro. Three years worth.
Nice braids, always fresh. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "No, why are you cutting your hair, bro?" In my head, that's what I thought, but. But when he said that, I was like, that's lit. I'm giving him a bald head. You know what I'm saying? And he said, no, not bald. And then he told me a little bit, not much, about why he was doing it and what he wanted to do. He asked me to pray over his head as he consecrated his hair. And I was like, bro, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Let's do it. And so, bro, literally for probably that whole week or a few days before the haircut, when we had talked about it, I was just praying about, you know, this step in his faith and the obedience it takes to do that. Cause I know me personally, bro, I probably wouldn't cut my hair off. No, I wouldn't. No.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to prepare, you know, whatever prayer needed to be said. I wanted the Spirit to lead that time and for me to be in a place where I was ready to, you know, lead a big step, a big decision like that. And then whenever he pulls up, he brought his mom and dad with him. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, oh, no. I was like, how am I going to pray? How's my prayer going to compare to Pastor Ralph? You know what I'm saying? And then his mom, who basically a pastor, you know what I'm saying? She speaks and she's locked in with the Lord. And they took it over, bro. Like, they both prayed over his hair and over his life and over this new journey he's walking. And it was so beautiful just to be a part of it. And the first thing I said after we cut the hair off was like, dang, we should have recorded that for the podcast. Of course, the hair already gone. He bald-headed now, you know what I'm saying? No more hair. So it's too late. But, yeah, we just wanted to know, like, a little bit, whatever you're comfortable with sharing about that experience was, because it was just really special to me. So I want other people to, you know, if they're holding on to something tight, you know, and they may be putting it above God, or they may be holding on to it so tight that it seems to separate them, or whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be hair. It could be another person. It could be a substance. It could be Instagram. It could be your phone, whatever the case may be. Like, how did you take that step in obedience? You know, obviously God had spoken something to you and you had to trust it, you know, and as your hair is gone now, you know, there's no going back. So once you cut it, you can't put it back on.
Facts.
So that's a really bold step in your faith. And I just wanted to know more about it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start from the beginning of when I felt like I was kind of convicted about my hair in specific. It was like a couple weeks before, I hit you up, probably like a week or week and a half. I was doing my morning routine, bro, brushing my hair, doing yada, yada, yada. Not brushing my hair, but put my hair up, brushing my teeth, all that good stuff. And, like, literally, bro, I remember looking in the mirror and hearing, like, clear as day in my head, cut it off. And I was just like, what? Like, where did that even come from? Like, I wouldn't even think about my hair for real. Like, it was just kind of there. And I just kind of stored it in the back of my head. But, like, you know how it is when God convicts you of something, bro. Like, it's like every day it just kind of pops up in your head again and again and again and again. And I was just like, all right, like, let me, like, figure out why I feel like I'm hearing this, right? So I started, like, looking up on, like, consecration and, like, truly dedicating your mind, your body, and your soul to the Lord. And alongside of that is, like, the idea of, like, the remnant. So the remnant being, like, remnants of things in your past still being attached to you because you still have things about your past that you do. You get what I'm saying? So for me, man, I have lived a very, very sinful life, you know, like we all have, you know, and majority of the times when I had that hair, bro, I was sinning. You get what I'm saying? Like, I can vividly remember, you know, this is years ago, but like breaking down some tree, bro, and like literally using my hair as like the way to get the stickiness off my hand so I can still roll up. Like, you get what I'm saying? So like legit like that, you get what I'm saying? And it's like, when I would look at my hair, I would still think about that. Like, it was a deep thought back in the back of my head, but it would still be there. You get what I'm saying? So that's a remnant. And I just kind of like started to think about all the other things that I would do, you know, that I'm not going to go into too much detail. And it's like, man, I got to get rid of those memories, or like, I got to start working towards getting rid of those memories and start working towards kind of getting rid of those things. And then alongside of that, like I said, I started reading about the consecration and like truly praying over things. And I was going to try and do it where, like, because my dad also anointed my head with oil when we did that prayer. And I was going to do it with my hair, and I'm like, bro, I can't even really get to my scalp, like, because my hair is so long, like, you get what I mean? Like, I was growing my hair for 3.5 years, so my hair was long, long, and thick, you know? So I was like, man, it got to go in order to get down there, and it's kind of like a fresh start, fresh beginning mindset. So that's really where it kind of came from, you know, and being able to truly consecrate myself to God, because I feel like, in a lot of ways, like, I have sacrificed a lot of things for my relationship with Christ and in my relationship with Christ. Yeah. But, like, in the Bible, it always talks about going wholeheartedly after God. Mm. And, like, wholeheartedly means everything. And if I'm going to keep it a buck, like, there are small things in my life where I haven't. Mm. You know what I mean? And, like, that was kind of, like, a step in the direction of, like, yo, there's no more little things that I'm going to let slide. Like, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of times, like, you know, people will be like, oh, like, I don't smoke weed no more, but, like, you know, they'll still hit CBD, or they'll still do whatever the case may be, or they'll be like, oh, like, I'm not having sex, but I'm still watching porn. Like, you kind of leave in those remnant things, and, like, that ain't nothing but a little crack in the door for the enemy to come in and start making havoc, start wrecking havoc, you know. So it's just in an effort to try and truly be wholeheartedly after Christ and truly be sacrificial towards Christ. And at the end of the day, bro, cutting your hair don't make you do that. You know, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. There's still a lot of work that I got to go through daily. Like, you know what I mean? Cutting my hair don't make me forget about all those memories. Like, they still there. I still think about them. But like we were talking about earlier outside, like my reaction to those things are different now. Like my reaction isn't to go and dive into those things. My reaction is to pray about it and like ask God for forgiveness or ask God for whatever it is that I need in that moment. Yeah. I got a mentor of mine that he says, you can't control if a crow flies over your head, but you can keep it from making a nest. And essentially that idea is you can't control the thought popping up in your head, bro. Like, you know what I mean? But you can keep that thought from planting in your head and like truly being a thought over and over and over throughout the rest of the day. So I think my hair was a nest. So had to take the nest away, bro. But the crow still be flying around.
Yeah. What is consecration from like a, if you could, I know you like basically went into it, but like, what is it like? Is it like a, it's sacrificing something or?
So, we don't necessarily have to sacrifice anything now because you know Jesus came and died and like was right, the ultimate right. sacrifice. But in the sense, it is the sacrifice of your flesh. You get what I'm saying? So it's truly like sacrificing like my own selfish wants, my own selfish desires, and those type of things. And the research that I did, it was always three main facets that he talked about. It was talking about the physical consecration, which is like consecrating your body. So like keep it a buck with y'all and everybody else. Like for me, one thing that I've struggled with for a long time is my sexual purity. You know what I mean? And not watching porn, not having sex, not having lustful thoughts, not looking at women as objects, yada, 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 et cetera, right? So that physical consecration had a lot to do with my hair. You get what I'm saying? Because that was one of those pillars where, like, I really needed to sacrifice. Alongside of that is obviously, like, your spirit. You get what I'm saying? Like, sacrificing, that's kind of more so the duality of the flesh and the spirit. You know what I mean? Because, like, bro, them things are constantly at war. Like, you wake up in the morning and the first thing it is a war. You know what I mean? So sacrificing the flesh in a sense of I'm dedicating my life to the Holy Spirit as opposed to my own spirit. And then the other one is your soul. And that's really just, like, your mindset, like, how you're thinking and, like, your perspective and, like, shifting that and trying to be, like, man, I can't remember the exact verse, but it talks about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. That's kind of like the third pillar that I would always talk about. And I think in those second two, if I had to rank them of like, okay, I'm good at this, boom, boom, boom. The physical was really where I was struggling at. So like, that's why the hair especially was kind of like, I think that's why God made it so prominent in my head, like of a random thought of cut it off. Like it was literally just three words, cut it off. And I was like, huh? Like, is it the music you want me to cut off? Like, because, you know, I'm jamming in the morning. Like, you feel what I'm saying? So it's like, what you talking about?
No, that's what we do, though. Like, yeah. God may have clearly put something on our heart, and we might twist it to fit it into our plan or our agenda. And that's something you could have easily done. You know what I'm saying? When God spoke those words to you, you could have been like, cut it. Okay. Cut music. Cut that girl off. Cut whatever that toxic homeboy years off, you know what I'm saying? You could have spun it a lot of different ways, but I think, you know, in the obedience of making a big sacrifice, because your hair, like, I love my hair, you know what I'm saying?
You
and
me both.
You loved your hair, bro.
What?
Because you had nice hair. You had nicer hair than a lot of ladies I've seen, honestly.
Hey, man,
no
I can
offense,
sell it.
But he had nice hair, bro. Always nice, bro. Yeah. So I know that's a big, and that becomes part of our identity, right? And so, like, you have the constant reminder when you look in the mirror now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that should show you that your identity wasn't in your hair. Your identity has nothing to do with our outward appearance, right? Our identity is found in Christ, you know? And so now it's like you may look at yourself and be like, I don't like how I'm looking, right? But it's more important what's inside, you know? Because God is pleased with what you're looking like because of the obedience you've shown in the act of that sacrifice, you know what I'm saying? So that's a big growth step, bro, and we got to celebrate that, you know? And it's really cool to see how you've kind of approached this time in the season, right? Because you haven't been all down bad and all, I miss my hair, Wally, I miss my hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can tell you're moving in confidence, you know, because you can see that this was something that clearly was in God's plan. And because of your obedience in this situation, like, this was a big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, because of that obedience is in the big thing, it's going to be a lot easier to be obedient in the smaller things. You know what I mean? That's what me and Chris were talking about last week, is like, a lot of times we're so focused on the big picture, right? The big idea, what's God going to do in a big way? What church am I going to start? Or when am I going to be on stage giving a message? And we're completely overlooking the little opportunities to spread the gospel, you know? But through this big step you made, now it's like the little things don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be not easier, but you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
it's
going
to be like a little bit.
It definitely does make it a little bit easier, bro. But easier doesn't mean easy.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think that's kind of what you're saying, in the sense of like it becomes simple. But like, a lot of times, man, people confuse simple with easy.
Mm.
Like, and like, analogy I use a lot of times is like, people will be like, like, it's simple to make $1 million. You just got to make $1 million. Like, you get what I'm saying? You make $1 million, you're a millionaire.
Exactly.
But that is not easy. Like, yeah. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Yeah, facts. I wish it was, too.
It's simple but hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like to, because it's crazy because we were talking about sacrifice last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Hebrews is really big on talking about sacrifice, right? Especially because, right, he's kind of talking to people who are going from sacrificing, like, animals to, like, he's talking about the sacrifice that they continue to make, right? It's not going to be like how you're talking, kind of. And so, like, one of the things, right, this is from Jesus directly, is and I read it last week, was where he talks about dying to self daily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, but this one's from Matthew instead of, I think the other one's in Luke. It's in Luke. So then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So it's like, obviously, right, Jesus is the sacrifice. So he's talking about we also sacrifice. It's not saying that I literally go find a cross and hang myself from it, right? But it's saying that, like, I need to sacrifice, kind of how you did, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And that's, it's freaking tough, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that's
facts.
it is so easy to read stuff like that and be like, oh bro, like, I'm gonna go, like, die to myself, and like, bro, and then just throughout your day, like, different sin that comes up, and like, you take your will back and all of that stuff. But dude, I think that's sick. Also, another thing is, like, because, like, I hear about different people's struggles and like what they're dealing with, right? And it's different from mine. And hearing about, like, the experience of you cutting your hair and everything like that, I was like, that's so different from anything that I've heard before. But I thought to myself, I was like, sin is so crazy how it can creep up in the weirdest ways, you know? And I think what's so cool is it was, like, your heart posture behind what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Was, like, I truly love God, and so, like, I'm going to make this sacrifice, right? Like, I'm going to get rid of this part that's holding me back. You know, one of the beautiful things that I've been shown to me about God is, like, I cling on to things of this world because for some reason my flesh, right, is drawn to it, is like obsessed with it. And then I experience this person of God who's, like, so vast and so beautiful that it's like the things of the world, that's really what changes my heart.
Mm.
Is God, because how you said, like, you know, I can't change my thoughts or anything like that. It's like I'm fighting the flesh constantly, but I just start to see God as being so much more beautiful that's what I want to chase. And so it's so cool because, you know, like, me and Wally, bro, we always talk about, like, you know, the stuff that we, you know, we had to sacrifice, the party life, the drugs, the alcohol, you know, all that stuff. And but it's cool to see another person, right, who's going through that same process, but in a different way, where it's like someone, I don't know who doesn't love their hair, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was really thinking about it. I was like, well, I mean, I know some dudes go to Sports Clip, like, don't really be caring about nothing, dude. But you know what I mean? And so it's super relatable for, like, 90% of men, as far as, like, something that we definitely idolize but don't even think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when I heard about that, I was like, bro, like, I definitely do the same thing. You know what I mean? It's like, you'd be terrified walking into a Sports Clip, bro. Like,
oh,
most dudes, bro, would be
going.
Stressing. Yeah. So, like, but it's cool, bro, and it's cool that that's, like, a step you made closer to Christ. Is like, so really what I want to ask you is, like, because obviously, right, that's not the end all. It's like, what are some other things that have changed in your life that, like, are becoming a part of, like, your relationship, that you're like, you know, what's helping you grow closer towards Christ, basically?
Daily habits, bro.
Daily habits.
Daily habits, 100%. So, one thing that I also started doing, like the haircut was kind of a symptom of that, I guess you could say, is like I mentioned my morning routine.
Right, right.
And I got an evening routine. Like every morning I wake up, I got specific things I do. Like I'm up at 5:30 every morning. I got a prayer call with two of my best friends. Like that's also in the Bible study with me that we meet on Thursday nights. So like 5:30, I got a specific prayer. Like it's funny because, you know, how Siri will give you suggestions.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my note is now a suggestion. Like when I wake up in the morning, Siri is already like, I don't even got to unlock my phone. I can just click it and it pops up because it knows I'm going to do my daily prayer.
You get what I'm saying?
So, like, that happened, like, this week. So, I was like, oh, dang. Like, I'm consistent enough that technology is seeing
my boy converted Siri, bro.
That's lit. Real rap, real rap. So, stuff like that, you know what I mean? And, like, being intentional. Like, when I do that prayer, I'm actually on my knees. Like, I get out of the bed and get on my knees. Like, you know what I mean? And just showing that reverence to God. Like, you know, and in my evening routine is making sure that I'm writing in my journal. Making sure I'm reading 10 pages of different books, you know what I mean? Whether that be in the Bible. And I do my devotional in the morning. Sometimes it's in the afternoon, but usually I'm reading like a self-help book in the afternoon. Okay. You know what I mean? About like stuff that I'm specifically struggling with. Then I end up journaling about it, you know, brush my teeth, brush my hair now, you know, and do stuff like that. But I would just say the daily habits and trying to memorize scripture. So that scripture in Matthew that you actually read. Yeah. I was sitting here saying it in my head because that's one of the scriptures I memorized.
That's fire, dude.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
That's what I'm trying to memorize actually right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. It's a freaking great scripture. And I love when I'm a very direct person. So I love when the Bible is direct. And Jesus is literally like, yo, here's three things you need to do.
Right.
You need to sacrifice your flesh. You need to pick up your cross. And you need to follow me.
Yeah.
You do those three things, bro, everything else going to fall into place. Right. And then especially the latter part when it talks about a man that can gain the whole world but lose his soul. Bro, y'all.
Scary stuff.
Bro, you don't even understand how much that speaks to me. You know, because like we talked about, like you mentioned earlier with the football thing, me playing in the NFL, bro. Like, I had the whole world, bro. Like, everything you could think of was accessible to me. Like, and I thought that that was going to make me happy. And Wally, maybe you might know this story, but I got this knife tattooed on my wrist. I actually tried to kill myself when I was in the NFL. You get what I'm saying? So, like,
damn, bro.
I understand what it's like for a man to gain the whole world and not have a soul. And it is not it, bro. Like, if you're not right as a person, there is no amount of success that is going to bring you happiness.
That's bro, it's so good to have you on here, dude. Bro, because I work on yachts, bro, so I meet all the people who have the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different from me saying it compared to somebody who's really been there and can say, because I see that. Like, I obviously see that.
They be unhappy,
bro. Miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
But it's different when it's like, and then you've come into Christ, and it's like, how beautiful is life now? You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can say, it's not only that you've had the whole world, but you've been on the other side now where it's like, this is so much better, bro. It's lit, bro. I'm loving it. It's lit, dude.
Yeah, bro. God is definitely good, bro. Yeah, bro. God is great, man.
Go ahead.
Nothing. I was just gonna continue. I see you in your book, though, bro.
I'm trying to find a verse right now. And it was about something you were saying earlier, like about the kind of like the sin like creeping in through the door.
And
I don't remember exactly where I was going with it, but I got so distracted trying to find the verse. Then I find the verse, I have no idea what I was trying to say.
He going to bring it back to you, bro.
But,
just go.
In Romans chapter 7, verse 8, it says, But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. And above that, I had wrote, don't let premeditated sin run wild in your head. It will seize the opportunity, instead rebuke the enemy and turn your will over to God. And I think that was going off of what you were talking about, the nest. You know, because it's like, you've made this step, right? But it's also at the same time, it's like, that doesn't mean that the crow's gonna stop flying. You know what I mean? But because of the authority we've been given by the Holy Spirit, it's like that no longer has power over us, you know? So that's just what my brain was running to. It's so crazy just, like, when I say that, the authority, you know what I'm saying? Like, we overlook the power of the Holy Spirit every single day, right? When we choose sin,
when we choose to indulge in the flesh and indulge in the things of this world, right? Drugs, money, women, success, our jobs, our spouse, whatever the case may be, right? We completely overlook what is already within us, you know, the freedom that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit, right? And then when it comes time to be tempted, we definitely forget about the Holy Spirit, because most of the time we're going to fall to that temptation, right? And so we've been given this beautiful power and we don't even use it. And so when people are like complaining about, oh, God's doing this and God's not doing anything but trying to save us, right? But we keep choosing to dive back into that pit. And that's just been something I've been trying to focus on and be aware of, you know, like be intentional about those little things. Because like Chris was talking about, like the only thing I've really truly surrendered in my walk with Christ, like truly given to God, is the drugs and the alcohol, right? My sobriety is one thing that has never changed. You know, I've never gone back on it since, you know, the day I chose Christ, right? But every other aspect, every other sin is still very alive in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like every other one. So I can't pat myself on the back because I've been sober for 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still
struggling. But even that, you can't pat yourself on the back because it's like God takes it from us. You know what I mean?
About the sobriety?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah. I can't be on my high horse because it's like I'm telling people, well, I'm sober 2 years, bro.
Yeah, you know
what I'm
saying? Even
like,
say
that doesn't
it.
Mean nothing, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still, like, all sin is equal, right? You know what I mean? So I'm still in the same pool as the rest of everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I sin sober-minded now. You know what I'm saying? Whereas some people might have the excuse, oh, I was drunk. Right. I don't even got that excuse no more, bro. I just be
dead sober.
Just wilding out, bro. Yeah. There's no excuse, bro. Like, there's no mind altering going on in my brain. It is truly just my flesh that crawls out. It feels like, remember we were talking about that little pervert in the back of your head that's trying to, you know what I'm saying?
That's tell funny. You. I love it, bro. You make the face too, bro. It'd be looking crazy.
It's like there's this little dude in the back of your brain that's telling you to do the wrong thing, right?
And like, bro, we're like the same dude basically half the time, bro. But how, like, I was talking to Nisu about that, and he was like, how Paul writes in there about, like, he does the things he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do the things he wants to do.
That's the hardest bar in the Bible. Bro.
He says it's like, so, like, before you're saved, you know what I mean? It's like, you still bring all of your flesh with you into, like, you get this Holy Spirit, but your flesh is still coming with you. And so he's like, you're still bringing all of that sin into this relationship, and that's where, like, the war begins. Mm. And, like, what's brought me in a immense amount of peace is like I know I'm like in Christ and growing, because it's like it causes me like great pain. That sin causes great, like, it's not that I'm not doing it, but it's that it is a war and that there is a fight being put up, right? Where it's like, you know what I mean, like, even like, because I've been recently getting convicted about like some of the music I listen to, right? Like my boy Raheem was like, he listens to Pitbull, dude. I was like, that's wild, bro. But he's like, bro, I just wish he wasn't so worldly. I'm like, bro, some of the music I listen to ain't even worldly, bro. It's just straight evil. Like, you know what I mean? Talking about killing, talking about calling women like crazy things, talking about, you know, drinking, smoking dope, doing perks, like just crazy stuff. And like, so like I started getting convicted about even the music I was listening to. And it's crazy because then it's like I'll be sitting in my car like, bro, I'm really trying to throw some G Herbo on right now, right? Listening to worship music, you know what I mean? But it's like, at least there's that fight now where it's like, I know I'm not supposed to be doing it. God's convicting me with it, and he's like pulling me away from that, you know? So I think it's more of the battle sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that. Like, it's like, there's a whole lifelong war that's going to go on, and every day is the battle. And it's like, some days I lose and some days I win.
Bro, perfect verse that just came up. James 2 verse 10, for the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. That's exactly what we just said. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That boy snap.
Yeah.
No, but I was trying to find something. I don't know if, did you listen to the message last week, Pastor Darrow said?
Yeah.
So remember the part, because we're doing James at church right now. So remember the part where he was talking about, like, there's different faith. There's transformational faith and there's demonic faith.
Bro, that demonic
faith
hit me.
I listened to that this morning, bro, when I was at the gym. Dude, I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was really crazy because he was talking about the transformational faith is the goal, right? So when we grab onto Jesus, when we choose Jesus, it's like, he's talking about the whole faith and works and stuff. It's like, our faith should be a transformational faith. You know what I'm saying? That's how it's real.
You know what I mean? Because if we say we have faith and we say we have God and we have the Holy Spirit, right, there should be proof of it, right? We should see it. Like, others should be like, oh, wow, he really is saved because, you know, he used to do this and he's not doing this. Or maybe even he never did that, but now he's doing this. Yeah, the joy you walk in, the freedom, the peace. It's like the whole world could be falling down around you, but because of that transformational faith, you don't care about the world. You trust in God's plan and his purpose for why all this is happening. You know, it could just be, you know, a little growth season. It could be a step that's going to end up, you know, helping you so much in the long run. And it's like, then he talked about the demonic faith, and the demonic faith was crazy. I was like, I was trying to find it. Was that? That's not actually in the. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Does
so
it?
I don't know if it talks about it in the Bible, but I do remember Pastor Daryl bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because I felt a lot of conviction when he mentioned it, bro. Because I'm like, when he said it, like, I was relating to everything that he was saying, and then he said, "That's demonic faith," and I was like, "Dang, bro, I'm demonic." Like
wait a minute.
Like, God, wait a minute, bro. Like, that's crazy. But then I had to like sit and really think about it. And I'm like, bro, like, because he was talking about like how like your faith can. Kind of like the outer man and the inner man, you know what I mean? Like, your faith can manifest itself in, like, your actions and everything like that, but, like, if your interior truly doesn't believe in, like, what your actions are actually following up behind, there's going to be a duality that exists, and there's going to be a separation between my outer man and my inner man. And, like, literally, bro, like, that's what I have been struggling with for, like, the past, like, honestly, bro, probably, like, really my whole life, but struggling with it in the sense of with from a biblical sense for like the past year, because it's like, you know, I do a lot of things sacrificial things for other people. And like, if you were to just look at my life from a like a step back overview, like as a person that don't really know Trey Johnson, you'll be like, bro, this dude loves God so much. Like, he's like, you know, great or whatever the case may be, right? But like, the interior battle between my head, bro, and like in my heart, and like the disconnect from my head knowledge of like understanding the Bible and understanding like the correct thing to do and how to be obedient versus what my heart feels like doing in the moment and like my own desires and my own flesh, it's like complete opposites, bro.
Yeah.
So it's like, to hear that, like, it was painful, you know what I mean? But in that same breath, you know, I tried to find hope in it, in the sense of, like we were talking about earlier outside, is like, you got to acknowledge the growth, yeah, like that has already happened. And when you're able to look back and see a lot of growth, it gives you hope where in looking forward and being able to know that there is still growth that can happen. You get what I'm saying? Because it's like, all right, I grew from this and now I'm here. So if I did that, then I can grow from this and get to there.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So that's really why it punched me so hard, bro. Like, but to answer your question, I don't know if it's like specifically mentioned in the Bible.
I found it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's talk about it. So it says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?" You know, and when he this is James 2, verse 19. And so when he used this, you know, he brought it back to, where is it? Is it in Luke? It was when Jesus, one of the first towns Jesus went to, and there was a man who had a demon in him. And instantly the demon recognized it was Jesus. And
they were in the church, too.
Yeah, in the church, in the temple. Uh-huh, yeah. And there was a man there that had a demon in him. And instantly he was the only one that recognized he was the Son of God, right? That he was God right there in his presence. You know what verse I'm talking about?
No, I know what you're talking about. I was going to say, though, it's like, because I heard a preacher talk about that, and that's what how you just emphasize that, is he talked about, like, we have people in our church with demons.
With demons, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. With demons in them, bro.
What you at church for?
Yeah. Yeah, relax. Can't say that. Yeah.
No, bro, but that's so real. Like, so many people I come into contact with, they're like, yeah, I believe in God. You know what I'm saying? But that's it. You know what I mean? And if that is the depth of your faith, dude, you're shot. You're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like I just said, the demons obviously believe in God. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean they're going to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is not to just say, okay, I answered that altar call on Sunday, and I believe, and Jesus coming to my heart. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? The rest of his life is going to be cakewalk because I know I can do whatever and I'm covered and then I'll go to heaven. This is lit. Mm-hmm. Nah, the true test is from the moment you answer that altar call until your day of coming to the Lord, of death. You know what I'm saying? That is the test. It's from there, from point A to point B, the acceptance to then getting to them gates, you know what I'm saying? And what you do in that time is going to really reflect your faith, you know what I'm saying? It's not just the words you say or the raising your hand at church or even just being at church. That don't matter. I talked to a young dude earlier this week, and he was like, I feel so bad. I'm too tired to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. And I'm like, oh, well, you're making excuses. That's not valid. You know what I'm saying? We're all tired, bro. That's not real. But I said, the real question is, are you spending intimate time with God every day? And he was like, oh, nah. I was like, all right, bro, so church is just for show. That means nothing. Like, God's not like, well, he's not spending time with me, but at least he went and joked around with these idiots at church for 2 hours on Sunday and then an hour on Wednesday, right?
Don't clown church like that, bro.
Bro, I'm just saying, it's real, bro.
That's real, though.
Like, if you're just in church to hang out, or you're just in church to, like, keep up appearances, bro, it doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? I did that for a lot of years, bro. Like, my mom and my girl made sure I was at church, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as that thing was over, I ran out the door. I would sit in the car and wait for them to talk to people and stuff, right? Because I just wanted to, like, I wanted them to be okay with, like, oh, he went to church. It's okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I did it. Okay, can we go now? Like, this is all right. And sure, there were some weekends where I was like, dang, he was talking right to me. Mm-hmm. That was crazy. And then go home and roll up, go home and get drunk, do whatever I was going to do, right? No effect. You know what I'm saying? But that was, praise God for them keeping me in church. That was good. I shouldn't say don't go to church. That was not what I was trying to say. But the point I was trying to say was the intimate time with God is what's important. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. I think like what I always try and do is like try and put like real world application to it.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Like an analogy that pops up in my head is like Jesus, like our relationship with God should be so intimate that he's truly our best friend, right? So like imagine like you got this friend, right? But you only see him at parties. And you only see him when everybody else is going to go see him.
At a 1 hour party.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? But the party happened every week. You get what I'm saying? But you pull up every week, you say what's up to him, like, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? But like the whole other 6 days, you don't talk to him whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like you get what I'm saying? But every week you tap in with him. Like, is that really a good friend? Like, y'all just acquaintances. Like, you don't really know that man like that. You get what I'm saying? So, it's like, I think that's kind of what Wally was getting at. Like, and I feel that, honestly. Like, I think that's a very, very valid point. Like, you got to have your own relationship with Christ. Like, you got to truly, like, dive deep. You got to talk to him every day. Like, you got to be talking to him consistently, bro. Like, one of the first Bible scriptures I remembered is pray continuously. Pray without ceasing. It's short, sweet, right to the point, man. Like, the whole day you should be praying. You should be talking to God. Like, if you're doing that with a friend, like, imagine you got a friend and every day y'all on the phone with each other. Like, when you get in the car, you bang his phone line and y'all sitting there talking in the car everywhere you're going. Like, that's a real best friend. Like, that's a real homie. Like, that's not that little, you know, pull up every facts. I got friends like that I'm with too, bro. But it's important to have those people. Community is important for sure. So.
No, 1,000%. And you know what's so cool? I was just thinking about this when you were talking about, you know, if you saw me from the outside, I looked like a real God-fearing, God-loving man. And before I knew you, you know what I'm saying? That's what I thought about you. I was like, and I still think that. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying?
I
but
appreciate that.
I was like, dude, it must be nice being Trey, bro.
It's not.
I was like, it seems really nice. You know, he's always very happy. He's always at church. His dad's a pastor. That's got to be lit. You know what I'm saying? Like all this stuff, right? And only now, because of his vulnerability and the authenticity in our relationship, have we grown closer. Because if he would have kept that image, that front of just, it's all good, bro. My dad's a pastor. My life is great. I was in the NFL. What could be wrong with me? We never would have got cool because I would have been like, all right, bro, nice to meet you, dog. Goodness, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have cared. But now we have shared our common struggles and our battles that we face every single day, and it has brought us closer together and it's brought us closer to God, right? We're sharpening each other.
Yeah.
We're sharpening. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what God has called us to do as a community, as brothers in Christ, right? And that's such a cool thing, you know what I'm saying? Because even now, it's like, because I was part of the experience of him cutting his hair, like, I can now hold him accountable. You know what I'm saying? Because it would be real easy. It's like the faith thing. It's like it would be real easy for him to say, I cut my hair off. I'm brand new. I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But what's really going on? You know what I mean? Sure, you cut your hair off, but what are you doing other than that? That was just a big step. What about the little things? And so now it's like that's going to even further our friendship and our, both our walks with God, you know, as we hold each other accountable and we talk about what's going on. You know, it's so cool how God works things out, you know, how you just – you're brought together with people you never expected to be cool with or close with, you know, and it's crazy how, like, that dude who you may look up to or really kind of covet, you know, kind of be a little jealous of.
Low-key idolized.
Yeah, like, little bit of an idol. It's like, dang, we're not that different, you know what I'm saying? We're all here, we're all struggling, but we're also all saved by the grace of God, you know, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, and because of us coming together in his name, now it's, like, more people, you know what I'm saying, we'll see that, and they'll be like, dang, these dudes, I thought they're really good. Mm-hmm. I see Wally at church every Sunday. He's doing really good. I see Trey at church every Sunday. He's really good. But wait a minute. They just said on the podcast they're struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that too. Mm-hmm. And it opens a door, a positive door that people need to walk through, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's only by us being real, you know what I'm saying? Like, that authenticity is what's going to bring people through that door, you know? Because mm-hmm. it's really hard to go through that door when you have outcasted yourself, mm-hmm. when you made yourself this person who's like a black sheep. And I identified with that, bro. Facts. I have a black sheep tatted on my leg, bro. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, nobody's like me, no one understands what I got going on, dude. I got misunderstood tatted on my arm, bro. Mm-hmm. Like a bunch of crazy stuff, right? It's and that was fire, yeah, they're fire, but
yeah, the tattoo's fire.
But
for sure.
But bro, like, that's this narrative I had painted of myself, right? And it wasn't at all true. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I just was right where the devil wanted me. I was alone and I was real quiet. I wasn't saying nothing, so no progress could be made. It wasn't until I spoke up, you know, and I asked for help and I was real with my problems, right? That's where my community started to grow. That's where I started to see, okay, there's hope, you know what I'm saying, in other people. Because at first, I couldn't find hope in God. You know what I'm saying? My hope was in other people, right? Mm-hmm. It was in people like Chris who are going to walk with me hand in hand through these struggles, right? It was through Nick and Trey and all our other mm-hmm. boys at the church who are like, bro, I know you don't got it right now, but come on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll carry you. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It takes me back to that story in Exodus. Like, one of my favorite things is when it was they were fighting a battle, right? And I think it was Moses, maybe? I don't remember who was exactly, but God told him, as long as your arms are lifted to me, you will be winning the battle. You know, the Israelites will be winning the battle. But the minute your arms fall, y'all are going to lose. The Israelites are going to be wiped out. And so what happened? Two of his boys, when Moses got tired, had to hold his arms up. Mm-hmm. They pulled up a rock for him to sit on and held his arms up for him mm-hmm. so that the battle could be won, right? And that's what we're called to do as brothers. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, hold each other up when we're down, be accountable to each other, you know, and keep it real, bro. Because if we're all just shells of people, like, there's no progress being made, and this world is just going to perish, dude. Like, it's going to be a tragic existence, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's facts, bro.
Nah, bro, that's fire. You guys said so much, though. Mm-hmm. But first thing I'm going to just say is, like, because I already told you, but we got one of the pastors at, like, the church I go to, the Grove, and he's covered in, like, all these, like, crazy tattoos, and every time I guess that they travel with them, the what's it called at the airport,
TSA,
yeah, TSA pulls them aside and searches them every single time, and they open up his bag and it's Bibles and theology books and like stuff for the church and everything, and they say like the TSA guy would be looking at him like crazy. But like one thing like our lead pastor was saying was like, because he was traveling with them, he's like, you know, it's so cool that he's got, because he asked, I guess, lead pastor, like, do you think I should try to cover up my tattoos because they're, like, demonic and crazy and evil? And he's like, no, bro, because it's a story of, like, mm-hmm. where you were. And it so it's like, you know what I mean? Like, that, it's really telling, like, where I've came from to, like, who I am today. And it's like, now you got the Romans tat and stuff. So it's like, bro, so far, which, you know, I know we was talking about that a week before, but, I say too, like, one thing that I've had to repent of was with the church was like looking at somebody who's, you know, maybe just looks like super good, and like something Wally would always tell me, like, would be like, bro, you don't know, mm-hmm. like, you don't know nothing about that dude. And what really got me was like this guy came into the church and he was like, bro, every time I come here, like, it's just a weight off my shoulders. And like it told me, like, these people, like, it's just like how I feel when I come into church is like, you're a different person almost because, like, you're with your people, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, you're happier, you're about to talk about Jesus, you're about to be with Jesus. And so it's, like, it told me, like, this dude's got struggles outside of here, and that it's the same way that I am. It's not fake, you know what I mean? It's not, like, I'm trying to be somebody different. It's just that when I'm at church, like, I'm genuinely at my happiest. And so I was only judging all of these people off of when I saw them when I was at church. And I realized, like, nah, like, they go home and they've got struggles and they've got work and they've got people they work with that they don't like, and they got family that they struggle with, and they got, you know, they got everything. Like, I'm no different from them in any way, bro. And I'm the same way when I come into church. So it's like they probably look at me the same way, like, oh, Chris is such a happy dude, bro. It's like, little do they know, bro. You know what I'm saying? Little do they know. So it's like, bro, like, it's not even about opening up. It's just about making those relationships within the body that, like, you'll get to learn these people. Like, you'll just eventually open up. Any person you spend any time with, it's like we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. We're all got this evil. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, yeah, you've got your Pharisees everywhere you go. But it's like most people I feel like that I've connected with, it's like I've learned, like, we're all in the same boat as far as, like, we all need Jesus is what we need. Facts. We all need the cross. We all need that saving grace, you know? And so, and then the last thing, just as you guys were talking about it, like, people who, like, just come into the church and, like, say the prayer and, like, I'm straight, and we're talking about, like, you'll see it different, is, like, you know, even today in church, bro, I was dumb tired because I went to church early today because I knew we were coming out here and everything, and I was stupid tired. I was like, bro, I really just want to, like, go to sleep. And I thought about in the forest when, like, Jesus is praying, he keeps coming to the disciples and he's like, you know, your flesh stay is awake. Weak, but yeah, your spirit is willing to stay awake, you know, and yeah, they just kept going to sleep though, right? But it was like when I read that, bro, I was like, they're weak, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is God, bro. He's about to go to the cross for you, bro. Like, how could y'all be doing that? Here I am, bro. Here I am doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was really just like, so to that point of, like, not even just specifically that guy, but it's like, you know, I don't know, like, my whole life should be, like, this is God, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't just another person, this is literally the creator of everything, the nothing created God. Just think of that. Think about the being that we are building a relationship with, that we are friends with. How crazy is that? That nothing created, he always just was, he just existed because he's God, because he is God, right? Invisible, he's invisible, but yet, you can feel him right there, like, he's right there with you. You know what I mean? Like, scripture says he's invisible, but it's like, you just know he's there. You know, it's like, he's loving. He went to a cross. He died for you. It's like, this is God. You know what I mean? So it's like, your life should look exponentially different if there's a true belief, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what James really is talking about, right? It's like, he's saying, that's what he says when he says, faith without works is dead. He's not saying that your works is going to save you, but, bro, the best thing I heard was, like, your works don't save you, but your works, how do you word it, dude? It was so good. Because he says, like, your works are like, your works don't save you, but your works, I can't remember it. I'll have to remember it and bring it on next week. But he had, like, a good way of explaining, like, what your works really are. But basically all James is saying is that, like, you can tell a man's faith based on how he's living his life, right? So, like, when you have that Holy Spirit, when that Holy Spirit comes over you, when you get that grace and you believe and you truly know that Jesus died for you, your works follow behind the faith. It's not your works leading the faith, it's your faith leading your works. And so that's where, like, all my good behavior comes. And it's really pretty obvious when you just think about it. It's like, okay, I've admitted that God, who literally could kill me like that, he could just take my life. You know, he could kill everyone around me. He could kill every human on this earth in a second, right? And he could also save every single one of them. He could bring a hurricane over some state right now, or, you know, this God, this almighty, this all-powerful creator who deserves all the glory, all the power. It's like, that's who I'm saying that I'm following, you know, and I truly believe, and I'm saying that I truly believe that this God is for me, and that this God is my friend, and that he went to the cross for me, and that I was an enemy, all right? He said there was an enmity between him and man, right? And because of the cross, right, we now have this grace, and I say I truly believe that. It's like, you would see that because you constantly want this prayer time, right? Like, you're going to do it on your own. There's no people that needs to be around for me to have that relationship, right? It's not just going to be a church. It's going to be a real life change, basically, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think even in that, man, we're talking a lot about, like, you know, works and, you know, your faith behind it. And I think I just kind of want to say something to folks who are in a similar position where, they do a lot of the works, but they sometimes slip up, and in that slip up, they start to feel like that slip up takes them out of God's grace, and it doesn't allow them to be able to be receptive of that grace, and like they're no longer worthy of it because their works don't align with their faith. And there's a lot of people in the Bible that God has used to do great things and did use to do great things, but they were sinners. You know what I mean? Obviously, the big one that pops up in my head is Paul. Like, he wrote freaking most of the Bible, and this man was literally killing Christians.
Murdering them boys.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? And then you think about King David. Like, King David literally bagged somebody's wife, right? And then sent the man to go get killed in war.
Yeah.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Jacob literally wrestled Jesus. Like, Jesus was, I mean, yeah, like, God was like, yo, square up. He was like, all right, bet, like, run it. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, so there's people, like, where your one action doesn't dictate who you are and doesn't take away your righteousness, doesn't take away God's glory, doesn't take away you being able to be loved by Jesus. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that's a humanly trait. Like, that's a human thought process.
Bruh, and you know what? That's what's so important about, like, confessing your sins to God and to others, right? Because it's like, if you're stuck in that mindset of like, okay, I've done this wrong, so I'm completely away from his grace and mercy, that's showing that your faith is in yourself and not in God. You know what I'm saying? And like, if Chris tells me something like that, Chris does that a lot. He'll be like, oh, I can't believe I just did this. And I'm like, bro,
you good.
It's all right. Repent. You know what I'm saying? Your faith is in Jesus, who's perfect. Your faith is not in Chris, who's a sinner, who's struggling, who's battling. Your faith is not in Trey did good, so I'm going to do good, right? Our faith is in Jesus, that, you know, he was perfect. He bridged that gap between us and God, right? Mm-hmm. And now, because of the Holy Spirit, we are washed, we are refined every single day when we bring it to him, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the key. We need to bring it to him, because when we're not bringing it to him, we're stuck with ourselves. And that's where the devil's going to find that room to work. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the shame and guilt comes in. And shame and guilt only pulls you away from God. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're locked in with God and you feel convicted, when you feel like, I know I shouldn't have done that, that's good, because that's going to push you closer to God. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be your motivation to be like, okay, I was wrong here, so what do I need to do now to not end up in that place again, right? It's part of the growth process. It's part of that spiritual grit we gain through these type of experiences, right? And that's what we're called to do, right? Is to learn and to grow, not to be stagnant, comfortable in our sin, right? Sin should be so uncomfortable to us. Facts. Bro, like, it should
it's crazy, bro. It's crazy how God starts to change, like when your heart truly starts to change, like, things that you used to do, bro, like, you'll mess around and do it, and it's like, bro, like, I don't even like this right now. Like, bro, like, why am I even?
Bro.
Yeah, bro, real rap, bro. And, like, even, so, and you started to kind of segue into, I want to speak on this verse, Matthew 12. When you brought up earlier about, like, what other things am I doing, like, that kind of helps me. Reading this passage helped me a lot. It's Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45. Says, when an unclean spirit goes out of, and this is Jesus talking, it's in red, so big dog. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through dry places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with itself seven other spirits more evil than itself, and then they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be also with the evil generation. So essentially, bro, that's like, you can do all the right stuff and, like, cut your hair, clean up your house. Like, it says it in the verse, bro. It says it finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So you did what you were supposed to do, but you missed the step of replacing it. And then it also ties into the verse of, I think it's Matthew 14, where it talks about the three things of dying to your flesh, picking up your cross daily, and then following after God. Those are three things that you got to do after you clean your house and it's empty and it's swept and put in order.
So
it's like,
fire,
it's beautiful,
bro,
how the Bible, like, will really, like, have two separate verses and two separate parts, and you put them together, and it's like the perfect equation of, like, what your life is supposed to look like. And then for this, bro, honestly, it put some fear in me, because I'm like, I have dealt with a lot of, like, spiritual warfare, bro, just in general, and like things that like I've faced in my life and like all those different things. And it's like, it says it's coming back with seven other spirits that's worse than the ones that you had before. Yeah, so I'm like, bro, like I barely made it through the first one, bro. You gonna come back with seven more? Like, all right, let me make sure I get right, bro. I don't want that coming back for sure. So like, I think that really like is what pushed me to kind of start developing those habits of like, all right, like I got to replace it with something. Mm. Like it's cool to get rid of it. Like that's a great first step. Yeah. But like you got to replace it. And like even like, you know, obviously I know your story a lot, Wally, because we, you know, we talk a lot. But it's like that's even when it comes to like addictions and stuff. Like that's, they going to tell you about that in any type of addiction you're trying to overcome. They're going to be like, all right, yeah, great. You no longer do it, but you have to replace it with something. Because if you don't replace it with something, it's going to come back. Yeah. Because that's like what you're used to. That's what you're used to going into. You get what I'm saying? So that verse like really, really like opened my eyes of being like, all right, you got to create a routine, bro. Like you got to do something every single day that's like replacing all of the times where, you know, you start to want to sin and start to want to do.
That's fire. And it's like based on like the work thing is like, that's what I really loved about the message today was like, like, I think one thing that, like, a lot of, like, kind of churches fall into is, like, you just need a better philosophy or a better standard of morals. And that's kind of what they're preaching is, like, a works thing of, like, just being better. But what I really liked about his message was that he was, like, but you need God, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's, like, you're not just going to be a better person, right? Because it'll fade away. Like, our flesh is evil and our hearts are evil. Right? It says it in Scripture. We think crazy things, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so it's, like, I actually need this. A real life being who can do what I can't get a surgeon, bro, to like clean up the heart. You know what I mean? I need God who can do such a thing that would make me have a clean heart, right? So it's like, I do need that person outside of me. I need that cross. I need that grace, you know, for me to have that, you know? So like, that's so fire. Also too, it's, damn, I forgot what I was about to say. What were you talking about? Replacing. Yeah. Yeah. What were you talking about?
I talked about the replacing the sin. But while you come up with that, one thing that Wally had brought up was about like a verse that kept playing over and over in my head, rather, is about like all the sins that we are experiencing is common to man. I think a lot of like, I can't remember the verse.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah, I think yeah. So. Yeah. I'm real bad at remembering where stuff is in the Bible, but like the Holy Spirit be blessed me of like, yo, this is in there. Say it. Like, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, bro, because, like, we really do be thinking, like, it's only things for us. Yeah, see, Wally just pulled it up. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says the temptations in your life.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Yeah. And then that last part of that always sticks out to me too every time I read it, because it's like he will always provide a way out for you to endure, but you got to take it. Like there have been a lot of times, and I'm sure y'all can probably relate, of like where you start going down the slippery slope of sin and like your brain starts telling you, bro, get out, like don't do it. Or like you start finding ways of like, oh, if I do this, that'll keep me from doing it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, nah, I ain't doing that. And then you just keep going down the road, and it's like you're just barreling like towards this sin that you know you shouldn't be doing. So it's like he always gonna provide the way out, but you gotta be willing to take the way out too. Mm.
Dude, I love that you said that. The Holy Spirit is definitely moving, because mm-hmm. when you said endure, I thought right back to James 1.
James is a fire book, bro.
Yeah, James is snapping, bro. Yeah. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Mm-hmm. Dude, so every time we're tempted, every time we face adversity in life, right, we're so quick to kind of just curl up in a ball and just like, you know what I'm saying, complain and cry and do all this stuff, right? But what does the Bible say? Consider an opportunity for great joy, you know? So the next time we face that temptation, right, we should look at God and be like, thank you, Jesus, because that is showing that we're aware and we're conscious of the sin, and that right there is growth, you know what I'm saying? Whereas before, we would have just dove right into it, had no even second thought, right? Exactly. That is showing, the fact that you're conscious and aware of your sin is a sign that you are you're one with God. You have the Holy Spirit in you, or else, you know what I'm saying, sin wouldn't even matter. You wouldn't even care. You wouldn't be like, what is even sin, right? It is so cool to see, like how Chris said, like, you can't see God, but, like, sometimes the coolest moments is when I see God moving, like, in myself or in another person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't physically see what he looks like, but we see his power when it's displayed in our times where we could do right or do wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But because of the grace of God, because of the just pure blessing it is that he's given us faith, right? When we make that right decision and we see the fruits of that decision, dude, that's the best reward we could ever get. You know what I'm saying? It's way better than whatever temporary satisfaction we were looking to find in the thing of this world, right? And that could even go back to what you were saying, what both y'all were saying. You know, Chris working on the yachts, seeing these people with billion-dollar yachts, and they're depressed, right? You had it all, had everything in the world, and you were miserable. You know what I'm saying? The world is nothing. It's going away. It's temporary. It's perishing, right? Mm-hmm. But our faith in God is a gift given to us that will forever be a gift, you know? And it's going to be a gift while we're on this earth, to the point where when we get to heaven, we won't even need faith because we'll be right there with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, we won't have to, it won't be a battle no more. It's going to be eternity of just joy and contentment and just, like, overwhelming. Just, you're with God constantly, bro. Imagine that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And so I was going to say before, which is just real quick, is, like, as far as, like, a scripture that, like, really spoke to you is, like, and so, like, that's something that I haven't done for my whole journey with Christ, but, like, I've been, like, starting to try to do is memorize scripture. Mm-hmm. That really speaks to me, that, like, really helps me. And that way it's, like, if I'm in, like, a tough situation, if I haven't memorized, like, I just repeat it in my head, meditate on it, and it's, like, it just does bring you that kind of peace, you know what I mean? There's, like, certain scriptures I feel like for everybody in their relationship and in their walks and, like, things that they've been through that, like, speak to you in such a way different from anyone else, and even things that God has revealed to you that maybe he hasn't revealed to another person. And so it's like finding those scriptures, like, and that's just something I just recently, because, like, I've always read the Bible and I've always, like, you know, it comes up, you remember some of the stuff and everything, but I never thought about, like, actually memorizing it. And so, like, that's something I started trying to do. And then the other thing I just wanted to say is, like, so why I'm so happy, right, that we got somebody who is it hot?
A bit warm. Wally got them, yeah, them hot hands.
Yeah, cooking up. Is, right, it's like, so I can always say, like, I see the misery, but it's like, in, like, that lifestyle, the reason I'm so adamant about saying that is because America, even on social media and stuff, it's like, your feed gets full of, like, these people with the Andrew Tates of the world and stuff, and it's like, our, like, younger generation is, like, getting to a point where I feel like where they're more seeking after money and fame and you know, just things of this world, thinking, like, because the devil's a liar, dude. So he's painting this picture that this is, like, this beautiful life that you're gonna have, right? Like, if you get everything that the world has to offer, that you can make this your home when our home is in heaven. And I think that it's very common, like, even for myself, like, I used to watch that stuff and I'd be like, bro, I got to get rich, I got to get jacked, I got to be in the gym, like, I got to, and there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with bettering yourself, but why are you bettering yourself, you mm-hmm. know? There's nothing wrong with being in the NFL, but it's like, am I going to, you know, everything I should do should be to the glory of God, so it's like, am I going to be in there glorifying God with what I'm doing? And, but the mindset isn't that with most people, right? Like, even for myself, when I would be looking at, you know, these rich people and stuff, my mindset was like, the world's going to make me happy. You know, like, I can get something from this world that's going to satisfy me. And that comes from women, all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? And so yeah, the scripture thing. And then, like, we have a firsthand witness that has been there, who has had the world and can tell you the devil's a liar, right? Like, even if you have those things, it's like, I need Christ is what I truly need, right, for happiness.
Bro, what's so real about what you said, one, is the fact that it's in the Bible. That's biblical. You know what I mean? Like, they literally say that the Bible is the sword of the sword when it comes to, like, your spiritual warfare. You know, you got the shield of faith, you got the helmet of salvation, the shoes of something, and then the sword is, like, the Bible, right? So, like, even when you look at Jesus, when he goes into the, which that's one of my favorite parts of the Bible, bro. Like, Jesus literally gets baptized, right? The skies open up. He says, "This is my son." And, like, the next verse, it says that he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. So, like, it shows us, like, yo, okay, you just dedicated your life to Christ. Guess what? Temptation, like, war, like, it's about to get real. And, like, Jesus's response, you know, after 40 days when the devil showed up, was to use scripture. But what I think a lot of times people don't recognize is like the devil responded to Jesus with scripture. Mm-hmm. Like, you get what I'm saying? So it's like people, I don't want to say give the devil credit, but like, it's not like it's a bad, like he's not a good enemy. Like, in the sense of like, he's not good at what he does. Not good in the sense of like, he's a good person, but like,
he's good at what he does.
He's good at being bad. Like, yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, he nice. Like, he watch game film. Like, he on your head. Like, he know what you like, bro. He gonna send it right to you. So like, he's very good at being counterfeit. And so like, we have to be very diligent about not allowing that counterfeit and buying into it. And I think that's what, like, even when we talk about the world and like the fleshly desires and like attaining those worldly things, there's nothing inherently wrong about attaining those things. Like, even the Bible talks about, like, he wants to give you more riches than you can even understand and that you can even fathom. But it's like, what's your intentions behind it? And more importantly, like, when you attain those things, like, are you attaining those things for the right reasons? And like, are those things coming from Christ? And is your soul in the correct place? And is your mind in the correct place? Are you still walking with God? Are you still being in tap with God? You know what I mean? Or are you just, did you just get those things just because you bought into what the devil was talking about? Or you bought into what the world was talking about? And like, even in that, like, there is some satisfaction that comes from living in the world, bro. Like, we would all be sitting here liars.
In the beginning, bro.
Yeah, bro. We'll be sitting here being liars if we say that, like, like, sin ain't fun. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, when I was living in the world, bro, it's not like I hated living in the world. Like, when I was in the club popping bottles, I was in there having a blast. Yeah. Like, yeah,
but
bro.
You got to think, you weren't one with the, you didn't have the Holy Spirit. So it
that's
wasn't,
what I'm saying.
It
yeah.
wasn't nothing to you.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah. So I think that part, though, is like, but what I'm saying about that fun is like, it will give you that temporary satisfaction. And when receive that temporary satisfaction, now you got to keep finding temporary satisfaction over and over. And if you're successful at finding
Feed
that temporary
up.
Satisfaction over and over and over, it can create a facade of like, it's not temporary. I'm actually happy because I've created 10 temporary satisfaction things over and over that I feel like I'm actually am truly happy.
Yeah.
And then you run into the situation where you can't get that next temporary thing. And then another situation happens where you don't get that temporary thing. Then another thing happens, and then it's just a slippery slope after that, bro, and you start going downhill fast. Like, and then that's when you realize that, like, hopefully that's when you realize that God is true joy, and there is no temporary satisfaction with him. He provides temporary satisfaction and lifelong satisfaction. But there's going to be temporary struggles.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So it's like, we talk about that flip, that switch that flips. I think the switch that flips is like, you go from temporary satisfaction to temporary battles. And those battles be intense, bro.
Yeah.
And like, even, man, this is kind of a sidebar, but this is like something that somebody said to me recently about intimacy and intensity. Bro, so peep game. He was talking to, no, actually I saw it on the YouTube. It was a YouTube thing. On Tim Ross's podcast, a guy was talking about how when it comes to like sexual sin, a lot of times we confuse intensity with intimacy. And what that means is like, think about like a one night stand, right? The reason why one night stands can sometimes feel so great is because we require intimacy. Like, God wired us to want intimacy, right? But intimacy is something that takes long to build. You like, you got to truly get to know the girl. You got to truly understand how her brain works, understand what things. I mean, as much as you can, as much as we can, especially being men. But like, you get what I'm saying? Like, intimacy takes time and intensity doesn't take time. And then if you what we do in a one night stand is we condense all of that intimacy into a couple of hours. Something that takes 10 years to build, 15 years to build. Like, my parents would be married 30 years now. Like, 30 years to build that type of intimacy. You try and stuff all that into 6 hours. Like, that's intense. So you feel that intensity in that one night stand, and then that's what you think, like, this life is supposed to be about. But in reality, like, God is trying to provide you that intimacy that takes a long time to build. So that's what makes, like, that intensity something that you feel like you need or something that you feel like you want. And like, an analogy that pops up in my head is like, you know, for those of you that drink, like, understanding like taking a shot versus having a drink. Like, having a drink, it might take you a little bit longer to get there. You know, you get what I'm saying? But you take a shot, bro, that be gone. You can get right real quick, especially if you
give
back
more.
Yeah. So it's like being able to recognize the difference between intimacy and intensity. And I think a lot in my life, you know, that's why it really spoke to me, is like, I've really only known intensity. Like, I've never really known true intimacy in my life. And the first place that you need to find that true intimacy is between yourself and your relationship with God. And you can't give that to anybody else until you have it for yourself. You know what I mean? No matter how much you try and fabricate it, no matter how much you actually have a heart that's willing to do it. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you can really try, but like, if you ain't ever did it, bro, you're not really, you're going to mess up. Like, you're going to fold, you're going to fall, you know? And like, that's a, it's just a fact.
Amen to that. No, I was just thinking about, like, you know, the people do a really good job of painting these pictures, right? Like, the world seems very nice and, you know, from the viewpoint you might look at it. Like, when I was a kid, I always envied, like I wanted to be like TV, you know what I'm saying? Like, the NFL looked really good because I knew if I was in the NFL, I'd always be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, financially, I had people around me. I'd be all this stuff, right? The NFL made me okay. Or I would see, like, shows like The Office, right? And I'm like, oh, I could just work at an office and I know I'll always be okay. Those people are always okay. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I held on to that so tight. And then now I do neither of those things, bro. You know what I'm saying? And thank God I don't, because it's like, that was just some image, you know, I'd painted in my head. You know, it wasn't real. It wasn't realistic. You know, and when we look at other people's lives, you know, and we're like coveting them, or, you know, like whatever the case may be, or we're envious because they have this and they have that, you know, we're completely overlooking what God has given us, you know. And that's something that I daily have to remind myself of, is like, you know, God has me right where he wants me, on his time and his will, you know what I'm saying? And whatever the next step looks like, whatever the next thing is, like, I know it's covered, it's provided, you know what I'm saying? I know my family's gonna be okay because he has just blessed it, you know. And so it's just been such a cool realization, you know, like, I don't have to be like the people on IG. You don't have to be like the people in the shows or the movies, you know, because, dude, it's not that sweet.
Yeah, bro. I got a lot of sayings, and one of those sayings is, the world is filled with cap and finesse. Yeah, bro. It's just everywhere, especially, like, you mentioned social media earlier, bro. Like,
oh, social media sucks, bro. Bro,
social media, I want to say it's from the enemy, but, like, I feel like a lot of times we give actually, I got somebody that he has, this is the same person, my guy James, shout out to James, he's my mentor. He says, like, when we blame stuff on the devil, we blame stuff, like, on God. Like, I feel like, he says that, I feel like sometimes, like, the God and Jesus, like, God and the enemy are, like, sitting back having to, like, drinking tea or doing whatever they're doing, right? And it's like, they like, yo, we keep getting blamed for all this stuff. But, like, in reality, like, y'all the ones doing it.
No,
like,
one wants to look at
your
himself,
own selfish
bro.
Desires that's making you do this. Like, it ain't me. Like, it's you, bro. You want to do that. Like, you know? So, just that reality.
And I think, too, that's, like, that was, like, my whole thing. Like, when I first started struggling with sexual sin, I'm like, bro, the devil's after me. Yeah, no, then I'm like, bro, he would never, like, he would be, I'd be a waste of time for him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He got other things. Worse, yeah, man. Yeah. He's trying to get people who are actually struggling. Like, I'd be doing it to myself. Yeah, I probably say that too. And he's just like, who's this shit even talking about? Yeah, like, he's over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nah,
he's
bro.
Like, Chris, we're not worried.
Yeah, yeah, bro. Quit talking about me. Yeah. So, but, like, yeah, bro. Literally, it's that's, like, what they'll say is, like, you fight the world, the devil, and then your flesh. Social media, I feel like, is more just the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
bro.
That's just...
Social media ain't it.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, bro.
Yeah.
All right, we're, I think, are we all good, bro? Yeah.
We went deep.
Bro, but it was too good of a conversation to cut off. Yeah. But, you want to pray out?
I could pray us out, man.
For sure.
First and foremost, man.
Bro, I'd be the first guest. That's fire.
Yeah. But definitely, man, I want to appreciate y'all boys first, though, man. I appreciate y'all boys having me on, you know, giving me the opportunity to be able to share my story and have this conversation. You know, obviously, you know, I've known Wally for a little minute, so this is, I feel like I'm sitting in a chair. I just ain't getting a haircut right now. You know what I mean?
So
it was a good conversation, man. I appreciate y'all, man. And keep doing what you're doing, bro. Keep doing what y'all doing. So I'll go ahead and pray us out. All is about. Man, Lord God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity just to be able to have this conversation between three brothers, Lord God, who are sinful and who are just really just trying to be righteous sinners, people who are working their way towards you. We don't claim to be perfect because we know that we're not perfect. But thankfully, we serve a perfect God. And thankfully, we are constantly searching you and constantly seeking you, Lord God. And we just pray for your grace and your covering moving throughout the rest of this week. We pray for the people who are listening, whether that be while on their car ride, whether that be while they taking a walk, working out, like whatever it is that they're doing right now. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit meets them in that place and has a unique conversation, has a unique interaction with them that changes their hearts, changes their perspective, Lord God, and just allows them to recognize who you truly are and the things that you have done for us and the blessings that you will continue to do for us, Lord God. We want to thank you for the blessings that we received in the past. Thank you in advance for the blessings that you're going to bring to us later on in our life, Lord God. I pray for perseverance, not only for myself, but everybody listening, everybody in this room, Lord God. Pray for confidence, not only in ourselves, but confidence in you. I pray that we all just truly dive deeper into our word, truly have an intimate relationship with you, and truly just grow a relationship with you, not for everybody else around us, but because we know that we need it in our heart, and because we know that we are selfish sinners at the end of the day. And as selfish sinners, we need a Savior. And you were gracious enough to give your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to be that Savior for us, Lord God. And we're forever grateful, eternally grateful. And we just pray that this podcast continues to be successful, continues to reach people, continues to allow Chris and Wally to have authentic relationship, authentic conversations, and just share the word of God with those who are willing to listen. Soften the hearts, soften the ears of those who are listening, Lord God. Soften our hearts, soften our ears, so that we can continue to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us and continue to be a light in such a dark world, Lord God. You have called us to be lights. We pray that we don't allow anything or anyone to dim that light within us, Lord God, in your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We thank you. It's in your mighty Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.